Hello, hello, everybody. This is Alexandra Metters of GalacticConnection.com, and today is July 1st, 2014. Oh my God, I cannot believe it's already July. Hey, this is a very important radio show today. I feel it in my bones, folks. And one of the reasons I feel that so strongly is because I got a lot of guidance about this day, very, very special. And I decided and was guided to pull back in Laura Walker of the Oracle Report. So we have a very interesting presentation on the changes going on within ourselves and on the planet through her eyes and my eyes. So it ought to be very, very interesting to combine the two. For those of you who do not know Laura, she's a counseling astrologer and the author of The Black Moon, Guide to Healing the Shadow Side, and Eris, Archetype of Shadows, Crisis, and Awakening at the Completion of the Mayan Calendar. Very, very interesting reads. Laura is the only astrologer to research the themes of the newly discovered planet Eris, beginning at the observatory where the planet was actually first sighted. Both of her books are available for free download at her site, which is oraclereport.com. This is an ongoing daily analysis site. It will give you a lot of navigational guidance of the energies of this time in history. And it is based on a lot of Gnostic knowledge of the Gaia Sophia information and the divine being embodied as Earth, as we call it. She also holds a master's degree in education, and Laura worked for more than 15 years as a trauma counselor, my heart goes out to her, and a leading advocate for victims of sex trafficking. She's now focusing a lot of her work on her very special ability to see through the eyes of these astral charts that each of us have in a way that nobody else I know does. She can really look at the collective shadow sides of what's truly going on, really get some meat behind it, rather than saying, okay, you've got this in your second house, and this is when you're going to move into a more prosperity point of time. She can really get into the meat and potatoes of, you know, what's causing you not to have prosperity, and really pulling in some of the archetypal energies that most astrologers do not even consider. So with that said, I want to invite Laura on. Laura Walker, thank you for coming on again today.
Hi, Alexandra. Thanks for having me. My goodness. I'll never live up to all that.
Oh, yes, you will, and everybody loves you dearly. So I would like to first start out with telling everybody that Laura and I both got pretty much the same message, so no surprise there. That today's key factor was looking at what's going down on the planet, all the changes that are occurring from within and without, and that we need to stay on our game. Right, Laura?
Well, yes, we do, particularly this month, because the energy for this month is game birds feathering their nests. So, yes, we have to be on our game.
Yeah.
Because we're game birds, and we're the target, basically, and you know, there's a shift in the game this month, big time.
Yeah, and, you know, I wanted to start out with just how absolutely unique it is, for me anyway, to see so many synchronicities that have come into play after listening to your last interview. And I thought the first thing to point out, and I wanted to see what your perspective was through the astrological side of things, and that is, why the month of July? Why is the month of July such a huge month for this year?
Well, there are several reasons. First of all, it's a pivot point. If the new moon is in Cancer, for basically for the month of July, and that's at a 90-degree angle from where we started with the new moon in Aries back on March 30th, which was basically the month of April. And so in the cycle of life and in the codes of the planets, which is basically, you know, when you think, you can think about astrology in a lot of ways, but one of the things that it is a code for the matrix. And that would be, you know, when I say the matrix, you know, and as we all say the matrix, we're generally talking about the negative matrix, you know, this enslavement that, you know, is the illusory picture that, you know, we're fed and collectively plugged into. But that's basically dreaming. And there is another whole dream that's going on and has been going on alongside of that, and that's the collective consciousness of the grid that's been put in place and reinforced since harmonic convergence, most definitely, but much longer than that. And that's the grid. Well, we call it the grid. But they're both a matrix, really, because they're both dreaming. They're a dream time. And so there are principles and electromagnetics that go along with dreaming that produce certain effects. And one of the things that describes this, basically this code or this program, you could say, is astrology. And each of the degrees of the zodiac, each of the 360 degrees, operates at a certain frequency. And so when you have combinations of frequencies, you can look at those to determine possible outcomes. And you can look with some degree of certainty when you can see the cycles repeat and objectively look at data and things that happen when those certain energetics are in place, because they do repeat. And so it's a code. It's a mathematical code to read this. Well, in July, a lot of things come together that make it a shift point. Like I mentioned, we move 90 degrees from that new moon in Aries, which sets the tone for the whole year. The whole year is about change, because Uranus was conjunct that new moon in Aries. And I always talk about this and I go back to this, because it is absolutely essential that we become comfortable with change this year, because that's what's going to happen.
I agree.
Like we said, regardless, right? One way or another.
True.
And so those themes keep playing out as the year develops, as the cycle of life continues. You know, you can think about it in the wheel of life, the medicine wheel. And so now we come to this cardinal shift again at these points. And this is when the matrix, you know, the archonically controlled matrix is finding opportunity to make change. These are, in astrology, they're squares, and so they produce change. And there's a lot of power in some of the astrological aspects that enables us to really influence the dreaming, the matrix, well, either way, positively or negatively. Well, these opportunities are, you make the New World Order, the Cabal, the Illuminati, the Archons salivate, because they are so prime in their ability to transform and shift.
In their way.
Yeah, right, yeah. And it's basically at a higher level, it's a clash going on here, because their matrix is that wave of energy, basically, that produces that matrix, is deteriorating, and the grid, the one that we, you know, collectively, you know, that's aligned with natural world order and all of the good things about life that so many people have been working to strengthen all these years, that is stronger. That the wave of that is stronger. Well, astrologically, this month we have the planet Eris and the Eris point, basically the degree in the sky where the planet Eris was discovered. We have that aspecting with Mars. And the aspects between the planet Mars and the Eris point are the times when the energetics are primed for a shift, either to dominate or to free. And so for years and years, centuries, this energy has been manipulated behind the scenes to imprint the matrix of that, all of the gloom and doom and the destruction and the anti-life that really it is. But at the same time, that energy of rebirth is there to take over and liberate at the same time. And so we have these two dualities here that are basically clashing. And they have certain days when the energetics will be in place for those changes to hit in a much more strong way, and therefore change reality and imprint reality in a different way. So you can see it as the matrix, you know, kind of in flux there when something else is trying to take over, something stronger that it's fighting against. The dates are basically starting July 1st all the way until about July 16th, and there are a few days in there that are highlighted to be they have a lot more charge with them, a lot more energy for the change.
Yeah.
We're going to have the Sun moving into opposition with Pluto over the same days that Mars is going to oppose Eris, the Eris point. So that's like July 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th. All of that energetic will be going on. And so that is aggression. There's a lot of conflict that comes about with that. They're basically the god and goddess of the battlefield, Aries and Eris. They're twins. And so changes in all kinds of things. In the chaotic chessboard that's going on right now, this is the prime time to mold that in a certain way. And there's precedent from this. You know, I talk about this, about the Eris point energy, that degree of 21 Aries. It's present at on 9/11 at the time that between the two towers, that was the Eris point was on the descendant over New York at that time. At Sandy Hook, Mars was squaring Eris. Jupiter was also conjunct the Black Moon.
So we're being set up for another very major false flag event. And I wanted to point something else out to you, Laura, that I thought was just fascinating. When you look up the word July and you actually try to look into the definition of it, what you typically get over and over and over again is Julius Caesar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And one of the things that, you know, spirit never has coincidences. They're just synchronicities. You know, that's just the way I feel. And with that, when you look up Julius Caesar, you're basically looking at emperors. You know, you're looking at autocrats, dictators, and here's the key, temporal ruler, okay? So mm-hmm. I thought it was really interesting, you know, why July? You know, and I know July is a really powerful month because it's kind of like the halfway point of the Gregorian calendar. I know it's kind of the first wave after the actual beginning of the year, which we most of us mark as at the end of the spring equinox, correct?
Right.
So, you know, this is a big month from a lot of standpoints, and one of them I want especially the people of the United States to pay attention to is that this is the month that we all consider to be the month of paying attention to freedom. You know, we have July 4th, the Independence Day. And I just was floored when I started diving into this, and you look into the number 7. 7 was actually, you know, you've got the 7 hills of the Vatican, right, of Rome.
Yes.
And then you go back and you really start researching Isis and Lilith and Inanna and all of those folks, which goes all the way back. She was the head of the Luciferian Council of Seven. And I know Isis is something that you mentioned in your last interview where they were basically taking the initials of ISIS and saying, oh gosh, what a shame that they're taking something so beautiful and you know, kind of bastardizing it. But what I would also like to present is that another flip side of that, and I feel that's what July is all about. It's just like what you said, you've got the twins of Aries and Eris, right? Mm-hmm. You've got that dualistic stuff going on. You talked a lot about working with duality. And, you know, the game birds are targeted, but they're also capable of recognizing that and making sure that their abode is comfortable, you know. And I started thinking about this whole Isis hype, right? And you know, that's the way they work, is they create this really hyped up event. So everybody puts all their eyes on it, and they know, folks, how you're going to react. They've spent trillions and trillions of dollars to know how the human psyche works, right? So I got to thinking about it. What if the whole ISIS thing is really, in fact, they're just rubbing it in our faces? Because if you go all the way back, because there's all kinds of stuff going on about ISIS, Laura, like they want to start building ISIS temples all over the world. And first of all, why do we have to purchase and build a temple for anybody?
Yeah, well, and it is the same energy, the Isis, Eris, it is the same energy. And it, you know, the feminine split into many different names.
Right.
What it really is, the way I see it, is one of the objectives with it is to, you know, to parallel Al-Qaeda with ISIS. Okay, so one day, you know, Al-Qaeda will produce the same image or feelings as ISIS, that name that would now. Now, I don't think this is what's going to happen, but this is their intention.
Right.
And when you go further with that, and so that kind of blocks off any kind of discussion there. Yeah, it kind of shuts it down, because if you remember when, you know, Al-Qaeda was first talked about, you know, after 9/11, you know, it was just like, ooh, it was like the taboo word, right? It was just like, ooh. And now it's, you know, common. And so what it does by putting that negative connotation there, it does a lot of things to try to morph and twist the feminine into something that it isn't. But it also stops the process for a lot of people, because the way it works in the awakening is people, you know, start to learn about all of the occultism with ISIS, but then they go beyond that and they end up finding the Gnostic story of Gaia Sophia. And you can't get to the story of the Gnostic Gaia Sophia and miss the story of the Archons. The story of Gaia Sophia is, you know, the taboo subject, not because of that. They don't want us to align with the planet, but also because they don't want us to know who it is that's exactly in control of this.
Thank you. Thank you. That's what I was hoping you would say. That was exactly what I was hoping you would go into, is the Gnostics, because the Gnostic text and that sort of thing, because we're putting so much emphasis on ISIS. But I love the fact that you were saying you have to almost go through researching, finding, seeking, yearning to get that kind of information in order to really get to the root of who rules the world.
Yeah, exactly. And so one of the things that's happening with this is the story of Gaia Sophia, the Gnostic story of the Archons, that, you know, that they identified who the parasite that we were dealing with long ago, and the Roman Empire, you know, basically, as we're talking about, you know, they were the insertion of the matrix of, you know, of the Archons. That's what happened. You know, they destroyed the pagan mystery schools. They decimated them. We have very little of that information left, but it's been maintained, and it's what we call the grid.
Yeah.
So, you know, it operates parallel, you know, side by side with that. One of the things that's happening is, so if you picture, like, we go down the rabbit hole when we awaken, and then you get kind of to the end of the rabbit hole, because I believe the end of the rabbit hole is the Archons, and then you punch out of that because of all the people piling in behind you, because that's what's happening with the awakening.
Right.
So many people are, like, now, you know, funneling through there. Now we punch out beyond that.
Yes.
That's where we go now. And this is what I call the second renaissance. And I think that Steve was talking in your conversation, your recording the last time, all of these scientific principles that he's talking about, and all of that, you know, juggling of all of those preconceptions and notions, this is a renaissance.
Yes.
That is what a renaissance was before.
Yes.
And so we have to open up to everything, and that brings it back to the change.
Yeah.
And why this month is such a prominent part of that.
Yes.
Because we, in order to navigate and maintain and stay grounded and anchored with it, we have to open up to change.
I'm so glad that this is happening today, because I really feel even the most enlightened person on the planet right now can definitely be feeling a little bit of confusion, would you say? You know? I mean, anything that you thought you had figured out or wired in your kind of core foundational belief system has been rocked. And, you know, it's important for us to go into that which we know we can count on, right? And that which we know we can count on is ourselves. And we've been so programmed not to do this. We've been so programmed to depend on our mother government, really, if you think about it, and our mother jobs, and, you know, our mother healthcare systems, and so on and so forth, when we have forgotten how powerful we ourselves truly are. This is the reason why everybody has been fighting over us, abducting us, begging to hope that they can mirror our DNA, which won't happen in a gazillion years, by the way. This is why.
Yeah, because that's good stuff. We're creators, you know, we're co-creators, and we dream, and we dream up what we want to experience. And so while this month is with all these themes of liberty and liberation, we have coming into play a revolution, a renaissance. There are lots of the astrology in place repeats for the entire month, the theme of revolution. We were really setting ourselves up for this over the month of June. This was everyone kind of gathering some strength. And now we had strong energy coming into play at the end of June with Mars and Uranus in opposition. That created a lot of anxiety, and it charged things up. Uranus rules electricity, so everything was amped up. Now as we, you know, move into this month, you know, we feel something palpable. You know, pretty much everyone can feel that there's a shift going on, that something is happening, but not everyone can really define that.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we do with this is we understand that there are energetics in place that could try to knock us off of our game and into fear. And that's what we do not react to, where it's almost like we're kind of expecting that in a way.
Yeah.
And so we're maintaining composure as we go that through that, because remember, the Sabian symbol, the energy tells us, game birds feathering their nests. Well, we know we're game birds, but we're continuing to feather our nests, the grid. We're going to continue to reinforce that, even as the energetics that are in play and being amplified and exaggerated by negative forces to promote fear. And to promote fear of change, even while that's going on, this is what we maintain with, because we understand what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah, and we're going on as if that didn't exist, which is exactly what they don't want. So, you know, I kind of want to give everybody a pat on the back, because, Laura, I really truly felt June was one of the toughest months for a lot of people out there. It was a very intense month, and I'd like to maybe go over that a little bit.
Yeah, it really was very intense. The whole month was a month of struggle. And the reason for that, it's kind of like this every year as we follow the cycles. We begin at the new moon, and that's a whole month. We had two months this year, April and May, that were like preparing the new. And then when we came to June, we kind of struggle with that, because the universe asks us if we're serious about what we have in mind and if we're going to give up. And so the archons and negative forces, you know, just to kind of, you know, put them all together like that, they were on the attack, trying to make us give up on the things that we've put in place, you know, all of the all the work, right? Because it was natural, because we were struggling anyway, because it's the nature of the energy.
I'm sorry. I'm laughing because I think you and I talked about this about a week ago. I am going to just go on record, because people have heard me say this before. This is without a doubt one of the worst months ever for electronics, for galactic protection. I mean, I'm telling you what, guys, people would not believe the stories. Like, and it's anybody like Pam, Okalani, Steve, myself, possibly Pablo, who's also helping us. It's very interesting how we can be typing an email, it disappears. We can send an email, never arrives. The people can email us 5 to 10 times, we never get it. Are you ready for this? I had to share this with you, Laura, because I knew you would get a kick out of this. We transferred our server, we upgraded our server again because of the amount of traffic, right? Something told me I needed to go in and check on some things in the back end. When I went in, it was under the name of VAMPIRISI. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Okay. I'm looking at that, and I'm going, what? It didn't have galactic connection. So the long and the short of it is, they were actually hooked up to our back end. We were hooked up to their back end. But, I mean, I just, after a while, you know, with, like, tears coming down my face because I couldn't get anything fixed, I had to laugh at it and say, boy, these archons really have a sense of, you know, here they are going vampirisi, okay? So when you go up to that website, it's a guy that writes about vampires. And in the first line it says, for the websites that are neglected and are going to die or something. And I was like, oh, my God.
That is what it said, the websites that will be neglected?
I swear to God. The neglected, something about neglected websites. And I just sat there and I went, okay, you know, obviously I need to start laughing about this because I was getting so uptight because people were getting frustrated. They couldn't reach us. I mean, that's pretty much, we do have that archontic interference on an ongoing basis because of what we brought forth, right? But the month of June was unbelievable. So can you tell me this? Is the Uranus ruling over electricity going to be like lightning up anytime soon?
Mercury goes direct tomorrow, and actually today as this will air. That will help. That will definitely help. But, you have to laugh. Yeah, they do have a sense of humor because what was happening, because I had the same problems, lots and lots of problems with, you know, people's emails getting to me and setting up things. And interestingly, just the more traffic, the more people that were reading, you know, the less people were donating. And that hasn't happened. And so I asked the Mahavidyas, who are the wisdom goddesses with whom I work. And the answer to that question is, of why is that basically there's a screen in place. The Archon screen reality, and they can implant thoughts. That, and basically it isn't even so much that they implant a thought, it's that they can make you overlook things.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a dilemma because, you know, if the Orc report is sustained only by, you know, the generosity of people that feel it's valuable and they want to see it continue.
Right.
It is an experiment in that way that because it, you know, if it isn't maintained and held to be valuable, it won't continue. I won't be able to continue it. And so but many people find, you know, it's important and valuable and a way to organize ourselves within all of this. You know, I remember Steve mentioning that, you know, someone had mentioned that the other side seems so well organized and we're scattered.
Yes.
Well, we're really not. First of all, on the soul level, we're not at all. And, you know, even at this level, there are places that are organized, you know, to maintain that touch. Your site is one, my site is one. And I work directly with trying to influence the imprint on the grid every day.
Yeah.
You know, it's specifically negative imprint, positive imprint right there. If you're just trying to work the positive imprint, you're affecting all of it.
Right.
You know what I mean? But there were efforts in place and the stronger things become as a counter attack to what they do, the more targeted they become. And we see it over and over again, don't we?
Yes, we do. And I ditto what you say because sites like yours and mine, we operate off of donations and we put a ton of work into what we do just trying to assist the ground crew. So, please, folks, if you don't hear from us or things go awry, don't ever, 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 ever assume we're just ignoring you.
Yeah.
Because the interruptions and the interference are always there for me anyway. Well, so, Laura, tell us a little bit more about, did you feel like in the month of June, according to the astral chart for that month, are you feeling like there were certain specific houses that were getting hit the hardest to prep us not to give up?
To prep us to not give up, or where they were focusing on, you mean?
Right.
Well, yeah, it was anyone who was trying to come forward with something, especially if they had a voice about something. But for everyone in general, it was about finding some inner strength and actually reaching a point to where it just wasn't acceptable anymore. And so this is with a lot of things, you know, relationships, jobs, living in certain places. You know, people found their limit. You know, we came to a crossroads by the end of June.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had the new moon in Cancer on June 27th. And so we were brought to a place where if we were still keeping our dream alive, basically. You know, if we still have our vision of where we're, what we're trying to do and where we're going, if we didn't give up with that in June, it is empowered now. And it's, and all of the things that were limiting that and the, and any obstructions that interference that were in place with that are now sweeping off. They're shifting as we shift with this, this whole month now that we're in to change everything. And it's really a winnowing process. It's about, you know, things that are not in alignment with us moving off and things that are in alignment and in, you know, resonance and for our highest and best coming into play and coming into our field. And so it's a growth time. You know, change is growth. Growth is change. We, you know, it has to be that way. And it doesn't have to be chaotic and traumatic. The Archons will, you know, they use, you know, to control minds, they insert trauma because it's very, it's the most effective way to control is it's to introduce trauma. And so what we're doing now is we're just prepared for that. We're just kind of continuing on enjoying life, realizing we've come a long way already and we've endured for the worst of it. I mean, we energetically the rest of this year, we won't have that kind of energy anymore. That struggle-ish energy.
Oh my God, that's like music to my ears.
Yeah, yeah, that only happens at that beginning of the astrological year anyway. That's the way that happens. And now we just continue to build. It's so critical because if we give up during that month, the whole process just stops right there. We can try to get it back on board, but it takes a lot of effort. And so just getting through and continuing on now is really, you know, a relief and a breath of fresh air.
You know, I'm glad that we're talking about the fear thing, okay, the fear of change. I feel like under all of this, if we look at everything that is happening around us, whether it's the financial system going down or the ISIS scandal or the, you know, the Russian new financial system popping up with the Ukraine war going on, you know, and that kind of stuff. I mean, if you look at everything that's going on around us, the one thing that we should be seeing is where do we fear change in our lives? And I was wondering if you could talk to people about how do they find that when they look at their astral chart? Like, what do they need to look for within their astrological, what do you call them, implications? Or?
Well, yeah. You know, The place to look for fears in an astrology chart is the black moon. And interestingly, this year through November 26th, the black moon is transiting the sign of Leo. And the black moon in Leo involves the fear of change.
Wow.
Yes. And so this whole, basically the entire, you know, calendar year of 2014, we're dealing with fears about change, and that means the fear also of the position and status and order of things and where our position and order and status and where we fit in. And it's uncomfortable when those things shift. This is one of the other reasons why this year is such a pivotal year, because there's so many energetics in place for change, unlike, you know, just like that Uranus effect that I mentioned. But this black moon in Leo deals with that core fear of change. And the black moon in all of the signs deals with the fear, basically. They all stem from the fear of separation from our source. It's a byproduct of feeling that way.
Correct.
Of course, we understand that that is never possible, that we are always connected. But there's a part of us that, because we're physically manifested, that we experience it that way.
Right.
And that core fear will show up for each person in their own way, depending on where the black moon was when they were born. And so my book on the black moon details this, and you don't have to be an astrologer to pick it up and look at it, because there's an appendix in the back, and you just find your birthday within the range. It'll tell you what sign that your black moon is in, and then you can just turn to chapter 2 and look up where, you know, what that means, where your black moon is. And so it's sometimes not conscious to us. It sometimes isn't, we don't register it, again, like a screen in place. But you know, sometimes it takes a couple tries to look at that and see the truth of it.
Yeah.
Because it is unconscious. You know, it is our shadow side. It's where those fears reside. And then every month, those things are triggered. So one of the things that I talk about with the Oracle report, I talk about where the moon is for that day. And when the moon goes into Leo right now, since the black moon is in Leo, when the moon goes into Leo or its opposite, Aquarius, our shadow sides are triggered more than normal. So it's a day when we're dealing with things, fears about change, and then whatever our own personal black moon is. That comes up at the same time. And so it's those two times every month that we can even expect to work with those issues, which really gives us the knowledge, you know, to integrate that, you know, those little edges of our personalities that, you know, we don't really need to have anymore that are, you know, in shadow to us. Those can be worked off and integrated during those times when the moon operates like that. So, you know, I know, you know, I talk, you know, I'm an astrologer and that's where I frame from, but it's math, you know, it is energetics. It is a code of something to read and work with to develop and to not just that, to stay sane and navigate all this energy.
You know, Laura, we do reside in a negative polarity space. And we are striving to prepare ourselves for the new laureled Earth, right? So we're going to be experiencing, we hope, in our very soon future, you know, not so much a negative polarity space, but a positive polarity space, or one that is completely in balance. And, of course, that starts within ourselves. And please, folks, check out her book, because there's so many of you that write in and say, what can I do? How can I make a difference? And this is what makes the difference. This is what makes the world perpetually move at a much more accelerated rate, is those of us that are doing this sort of work. And here's the key. If you have a fear of change and you know what it is, especially with the assistance of her book, where you can really nail it, you can go right into where it is in your astral chart, then once you're aware of it, that's half the battle, you know, and then you're able to work on it. So we have kind of, you know, responsibility is kind of a heavy word, but it is very important for those of us on this call, because we are trailblazers. We are the leaders of this so-called movement towards the new transition. And it is our responsibility to, you know, if we have hang-ups about fear of failure, or, oh my God, it could get worse, or, oh God, what am I thinking? How could I even do that? Then we need to figure out how to blow through that, and I mean now, because we need you guys on board now. Right, Laura?
Yes, it is. It's the time when everyone is needed. And even, you know, and that's just in our individual daily lives to, you know, to hold the mindset of what's really happening and not buy into the illusion. That is the most important thing, to maintain that integrity of the grid that is, you know, that is the strength of that wave, because it's, you know, it's under attack now. That's what's happening. You know, it's about timelines, you know, trying to be manipulated. And there's a lot, it's complicated. There's a lot going on with it. But every day individually we participate with our consciousness. We are taught that that's a minimal thing, and it isn't. You know, just by being aware of the potential for things to happen based on precedent, but yet walking through your day, and not only that, if you can really do it, to find some happiness and some joy and to actually enjoy it, you know, life, because, you know, that's what they really would like to do, is to rob us of that, you know, experience.
Yesterday was the first day that I have ever taken off the entire day and night. From the internet, from my computer, from emails, okay? And I had a very heavy day, and I will admit to everybody, I was in a real deep space of somber melancholy. I felt the sorrow on the planet. I mean, I felt it to the core of my being. And I often say to myself, when I get into any kind of place like that, which is not that often, but if I do, I often say to myself that I know that whatever I decide to do, whatever charge I make, whatever move, whatever motivation I make to move away from sorrow and sadness and depression and, you know, things that are really thwarting me from being all I can be, I know that that's affecting the world. I really do. I feel that. And that's the same with each and every one of you. I have said to people many, many times, if you don't know what you want to do, and that's another thing Laura's astral chart services can significantly help you with, by the way, but if you're not so quite sure how to break out of the matrix, how to stop receiving a paycheck and going into what you really, truly are passionate about doing, take what has happened in your life that has been such a traumatic experience, because guess what? You know it in and out. And take that and bring it forth to the rest of the world, because I can guarantee you that if you have a six-year-old son who fell and he hit his head and he ended up having epileptic seizures and you've done everything you can to try to heal him alternatively, I can guarantee you there's a lot of other people out there that could use that information from you. Is to take your traumas, right, Laura, and create them into an opportunity.
Yes, it is. It's a work of art to be able to do that, truly. And it is so healing for people. And this really, you know, I think what we're talking about, this is the month where we are going to see. We're going to see if we can maintain the strength to keep things in place while, you know, the matrix dissolves and as those forces, you know, are overpowered, you know, can we do that? You know, it's up to all of us, and we can. All we do is we continue to look at the big picture and where this is all going.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I say it all the time, this is already in place. What's happened has already happened.
Yeah.
You know, we have already won with this. And it is the way that it shows out in the dream that we make it, what we dream with it, that is the true story. You know, it's the waiting. There is no more waiting at all. It is the doing now, and it is the becoming and just being the part of it and taking your place and not succumbing to hopelessness, because that is the challenge. That's the challenge everyone has to meet now, this month.
Yeah, and I know it's got to be done like now. I mean, I know people – or saying, oh, gosh, you're putting pressure on me. But, I mean, seriously, we need everybody standing tall in who they are now and really recognizing what is going on within your head, within your emotions, within your heart that is causing you to feel, you know, shackled or you know, stuck or trapped. Because I can guarantee you that if you feel shackled, stuck, or trapped, that is not – of the light. The light does not want you to feel shackled, trapped, or stuck. And it's really important to let go of that, whatever way you can. And if that means, you know, seeking out assistance from any of us, then so be it. Do it. Because the more of us that step forward, and it's just like what Laura said, our consciousness is growing now to a point where they can't mess around with us anymore. We're not just mambly-pambly going, oh, okay, you know, they're going to do a 9/11. We don't have any hope. We can't do anything to counter that. Well, guess what? We are countering that. That's why we are victorious.
That's right, and that's why we didn't have any kind of major calamity, major false flag during April when we were at one of these windows in time again. Because, and that reason is exactly what you're saying. This is a stronger wave. You know, when the Renaissance shifted us out of feudal times, and the enslavement of that. And that's what this is. You know, I'm sure that as things were changing during that time, you know, people were afraid because it was their worldview was changing and things were opening up. But look how wonderful that was. You know, what all the art that was created, all the, you know, consciousness that evolved. That's what's happening now. And so there's no reason to fear that.
No, no. And in fact, if there is a fear of that, chances are, if you delve a little deeper, you're going to realize it really isn't fearing that. It's just some other very core fear that hasn't been cleared, you know, like within your childhood or within a timeline of a past life or what have you.
Yes, and the fact that, you know, there's a lot of manipulation going on with that and traumas being triggered. So it's helpful to know that this is the time when those things would be coming to the forefront, right, to challenge us like that, to keep going. We went through a lot of that last month, and now it's about just holding in place as we shift. You know, we have to make changes within ourselves. We, you know, it's being pointed out to each of us what we need to do. Yeah. For anything, you know, any kind of change that we need to make, we know what we need to do. And that's what we're going to be doing this month as things turn and holding it in place and grounding ourselves. And I always say, go outside, you know, engage the planet, turn away and turn to the trees, and you're going to find your answer. It's going to come to you, you know, as you observe.
Yeah, because we have a lot more support now than ever before, because it can reach us, you know. It can
yes.
reach us. I mean, the light beams, the allied forces, whatever you want to call it, source, whatever, they are right in our backyards now, guys. And they are here to support us fully. And I feel that the month of July is, in my opinion, Laura, and I'm basing this on what happened to me last year when I got the clarion call and I went out on a mission with Steve. And we received that clarion call on July 4th. And we then found out, you know, later that the mission was very much tied in with our descendants and the Native Americans. And I just about flipped out when I heard you say that December 21st of this year coming up, an Indian chief claiming power from the assembled tribes. I just about freaked. Because I really do believe that the sign, the signal last year when we were doing that mission was we're bringing everything, we were creating and assisting and feeding the grid so that we could return back to that zero point at which we were before.
I love that. I just, you know, it's really beyond words to really even conceptualize what all of that is. And yeah, that's where this is going when we come to that Capricorn cycle there at the solstice. You know, the Indian chief claims power from the assembled tribe. We started out the year with the ruler of a nation. So something has been trying to claim power this year. That's what the Sabian symbols tell us. And that, you know, will happen, and it's an Indian chief that does that. So I was saying, yeah, I'll take that. And really, you know, we can jump even further ahead, you know. It's just time travel, because this is what it basically it is. When we come again to the new year again, the new astrological year, next April 18th will be the new moon in Aries. The Sabian symbol for that year is the music of the spheres. Yes, and so that's going to be the recreation of things. That's when the music of the spheres will restructure, reform, dream it again. So this is where we're going. There's nothing to fear with any of that.
Wow, that's like stepping back into the days of Michelangelo, you know?
Yeah, and we, you know, after we get through, you know, this full moon phase of July through about the 16th, the only other window in time that I'm really looking at is that Libra cycle that begins September 24th, so during that month. That's going to be, again, we'll hit that pivot point, that cardinal point again, like we're doing now. So there will be another big shift. But that's all about ascension of consciousness. The Sabian symbol for that is the light of the sixth race transmuted to the seventh. So this is, you know, this is very powerful stuff. You know, I really am at a loss to ever be able to describe the enormity of it. And, you know, just the scale of things is beyond me. You know, I'm not up to that task. But the Sabians definitely tell us, and they do a way better job.
It is. It's so profound. Now, tell us a little bit more about how does the Sun opposing Pluto, how does that bring into play this kind of kickoff, you know, because everybody's feeling it. We all feel like we're standing at the gate, you know, and the whistle's about to blow and we blow through the gate and we're running the race kind of thing.
Well, yeah, exactly that. The Sabian symbol for the full moon for this cycle is a relay race. That's where we're headed, towards the full moon.
I just want everybody to know, no, we never talked ahead of time.
We didn't, right.
That's amazing.
Right. So that's where, you know, so we start out, you know, at the new moon, game birds feathering their nests, and this is about laying the groundwork and reinforcing the structure, and there's a lot of revolutionary energy about that builds. Then we come to the full moon phase and a relay race. We're lining up for things, okay? You know, that we could be lined up in a lot of ways, you know, lining things up, taking things out. There's a lot of feminine energy that, you know, this is this is what all of the energy is building towards, is that feminine energy, that Aries point energy activating with Mars. So the way it's happened is at the end of June, we had Mars and Uranus in opposition. That's what was creating all that conflict, the aggression of Mars and the very unexpected events of Uranus together, that electricity had charged. It was just like powder keg. And so now we move off of that, and Mercury will go direct now, and that's going to alleviate a lot of that, a lot of the conflicts in communications and all the difficulties. That's going to spring out of that. And then we come to this Sun opposing Pluto at right before we come to Mars opposing the Aries point. The Sun opposing Pluto, that's a transformative energy. It can take us down, though. You know, it can take us into the underworld to purge out and to take a look at things. So it can, it's more of a somber kind of inner time. And so over, you know, July 3rd through the 6th, this, you know, you may not feel so jubilant of with liberty and the spirit of freedom and all that, because that's a heavy pull, depending on if that aspect's in your chart, that Sun and Pluto. But what it's ultimately about is transforming us. So even though we might feel a little down, or, you know, taken down a little bit by that energy, it transforms us, and we come out of that in a new place. The Mars opposing the Aries point, that's the one where we get more of the time of action, you know, the potential of things to happen. So,
and that's July 12th, right?
Mm-hmm. That it starts basically on the 6th and goes into the 12th. And then the full moon phase is really what we're looking at for the totality. So, you know, it's just kind of these energies are waves, you know, they come in and they will wane and whatnot. And so, you know, yes, we can pinpoint them on the days, but the overall window of July 1st through the 16th is kind of like that's when we just need to be aware that potential is heightened just for things to get very crazy and very aggressive, and people's shadow sides to come out and show themselves. So remember, just when we're dealing with our own shadow sides, everyone else is dealing with theirs too, and we tend to project our shadow out when it's unconscious. We tend to put it onto other people, and it causes a lot of conflict.
Oh my gosh. So what I've been hearing from people that are a little more in the 3D matrix is people are snapping at work.
Yes. Yes, this is the position of Uranus is at 17 degrees of Aries, and that is the energy that breaks things up and cracks things up and loosens things up. So people crack up and they break up and loosen up. and so, you know, in their own ways, everybody may be in a little bit of way. You know, we do need to open up a little bit here, you know, to accept, you know, what's happening.
So, Laura, for all of those that are listening that feel that they've really done a lot of inner work, you know, maybe they've gotten through the majority of their shadow side work and underworld undertaking, I should say, what is this month going to feel like to them, maybe? Is it a little bit different, or?
No, it's the same for everybody.
Okay.
And the answer to that question is liberated. Because that's what it's designed to do. It's designed to liberate us in some way. You know, liberate some of our energy if we've held that back for ourselves. Liberate our voice. Liberate our minds with a decision about something. You know, just to be freed from something. That's where it all goes to. But, you know, I always try to, you know, remind or just kind of keep out there in the forefront that even just because you have archonic interference doesn't mean that you haven't done your work. Doesn't mean that you have shadow side that's still unintegrated or something. It may be that you're doing something really important that they don't want you to do.
Oh, hear, hear.
So don't take it on board and personalize this. This is interference. This is parasitic. This is not natural to us.
Yes, I second that. And I think that more and more people, as they are really becoming more masterful in their walk and, you know, they're shining their light just so much brighter, you're going to be prepared. This is a time to be vigilant and be prepared for any kind of heavy-duty possible psychic attack. It's not to be paranoid. It's not to get scared or fearful. It's just part of life right now.
Yes, and it is a part that when you can understand it, then you can relieve yourself of that burden of responsibility for thinking that why are you so malfunctioned that you can't get that done? Well, look a little deeper with that, because probably, most likely, there is a lot of intrusion and a lot of obstacle coming into play to prevent that. And all that means then is that you begin to approach in a different way. To just see it that way takes the power off of it, and it enables us to move beyond it. We need to get, the judgment is part of all of this freedom energy. It's Eris energy at its heart. And this liberation idea. And then along with that goes judgment. And this is the real, nefarious root of all of this, is the judgment that we undertake with each other and of ourselves. If somebody gets sick, it doesn't necessarily mean that they aren't working their spiritual work. It isn't this. We need to go beyond that.
I so agree with you. I think we've almost become too polarized in the way that we see that sort of thing coming into our lives.
Yes, and it's just the same thing that's entered into metaphysical concept. It's still that diversion and division of people. It is all about separate and, divide and conquer.
Well,
that's what works the best.
Ari and I used to talk about this like till the wee hours of the morning about this so-called matrix that we live in. And the spiritual community has really bought into, okay, what did I do to create that? Well,
yes.
Well, I'm here to tell you, we didn't create the archons, okay? We didn't create it, but we are subject to it. So the difference is, don't go into victimhood and don't go into sabotage or blaming yourself. Just stand tall in who you are. I mean, damn it, you guys are creator gods. You are of the image of God. You are of his image. You are the sons and daughters. You are the most precious beings. Why are so many eyes upon us? I mean, if this was easy, trust me, everybody and their brother would be here, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But, that's what I always, when things get really out of crazy whack, I always focus on remembering what I'm going to see and feel and experience in the future.
Yes, that is really the thing to focus on. And holding that vision, there are a lot of people that have come before us, and so much sacrifice, personal sacrifice of people's time and energy and support of a vision of something different. That never went away. None of that work was ever a waste, because all it did was just go in to light up that grid, because it was all based on love. We are intensely loved beings.
Very much so. No matter what we do and no matter what we are. I mean, if you have an addiction, you're still loved beyond measure, right?
Yes, and there is healing within that, because it's our stories.
Yeah.
It's our sharing of our stories. All of this should just be stories. War should not be an actual event. It should be a story of the hero and what happened.
And we're all heroes.
Yes.
That's my opinion. We all are.
Absolutely. Yes. Everyone here, we're playing a role, and we have something to do. And we're heeding the inner voice. We're heeding that call that we have. That's what we're doing, and that's what keeps us on track. And that's what we'll do all month long under all of these energies.
And, how cool is that, Laura? If you look at, there's 7.2 something billion people on the planet, and we would venture to say that there's probably maybe, if we're lucky, about 300,000 people, right, that are within the spiritual community. I mean, I think that's the number we throw around amongst all of ourselves.
Right.
And look at the percentage of that, folks. Look at the percentage. I mean, that's what, less than half of a percent?
Yeah.
I mean, we are truly blazing the trail. This is a honor. It's an honor. And the fact that you're here and you're listening to this interview and any others to do with this shows that you're ready. You're ready to step up, take action, become the leader that you are. Grow the passion that's already within you. Find it, create it, build it, and blow up through. I mean, the energies are supporting us so much so, and I know they get very heavy and very deep, and bring us into a very deep, deep, somber place. But if we just kind of weigh it out and look at it like, oh, wow, I'm somber today. You know, okay, I'll just let this kind of roll. Maybe I'll go take a nap, or I'll just go be with Earth, stand on her grass, go look at a butterfly, you know.
Yes, just the being. Yes, that we can, you know, it isn't about, you know, maintaining positive attitude all of the time. It isn't honoring where your voice and your feelings take you, but understanding the reference of all of that in the bigger picture of things.
God, that's true, too. We put so much pressure on ourselves.
Well, yeah, because it takes us out of the fun of the moment. Pressure is the worst thing. Pressure and, like, routine, that's like the soul killers, you know? And
yeah.
So, yeah, there's a tremendous amount of creativity that's coming along with this, with all of this as well. You know, it change makes opportunities open up. And so everyone should be listening to whatever's being, you know, brought out from within side, well, from within them. Something has been trying to emerge. It tried to come out all the month of June. Now it wants to come to the light of day. We're following that. And in a wonderful way, it's just spreading so, so quickly. And so that's, you know, take heart with that, that, yeah, energy is going to change. It will change again.
Yes. Well, now, not to segment away from this, because we could go on with this topic forever and ever. We probably will come back to it in a few minutes. But I really want your take on the three triple whammy solar flares that went down.
Yes.
I know it's a very deep conversation, but it's one I've really wanted to ask you about for a long time.
Yeah. Well, I've studied the sun for many years, and I am open to the notion that perhaps there is technology or something in place there that is influencing the sun, right? I'm open to that. I get that idea. Just like, you know, that the, you know, here, just on Earth as well.
Right.
And what is all of that? I'm open to, you know, my understanding of those things morphing. How that said, those flares were right before we had the Uranus-Mars energy influx. Mm. And so what it did was it prepped us. You know, it was an upgrade. It was an influx of energy. If we look solely on the Sabian symbol from the energy of the time of the flares, then we see that what was happening was this was a flurry, a flood of particles, of plasma.
Yeah.
That comes into play, and it upgrades all of the energetic systems of our bodies. And that's what we're really working off of. We're reeling from all of that and trying to adjust to, because the sun's been very, very quiet since then. It does show signs that it might be, you know, getting a more activity, you know, maybe for the next week or so. But, you know, what that was a tremendous upgrade to the field, to the collective consciousness, and unto us. And so this is, again, about answering that call about the changes that are happening within us, because, you know, that was just like a bombardment. Everyone felt that, too.
Yes. Yes. I actually, the message that I got was that it was the masculine and the feminine becoming unified. It was almost like a, you know, both hemispheres getting zapped, getting awakened. And then the third one came along the next day and just kind of softened it, like surrounded it with, you know, some kind of supportive, loving, very omniscient energies.
Yes, that one, the third one was definitely different with that, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
You know, and I think what we are watching as all of this happens, you know, as I'm calling the second renaissance, basically, is the masculine, yes, the empowerment of the masculine and the empowerment of the feminine in the divine way, and how the masculine is finding its way and its role. That's a big theme of what's on the undercurrent of what is happening, because the rise of that isn't happening and doesn't happen in any way that we recognize, you know, because it's new.
Gosh, Laura, that's such a good point. I mean, I have to tell you, and I'm sure you have many male clients also, I am so impressed with the males that are stepping out of that archetypal role that they were bombarded with, and really showing us, showing the world, showing women how to be a different kind of woman even.
Oh yes, it's such a welcome thing. You know, it's so joyful to see that because you know, feminine energy has been carrying this for a long time, mm-hmm. and it's so wonderful to share the field of consciousness and you know, to experience it that way because you know the masculine has been subordinate. You know, it has been taken over by this shrill morphing of the feminine into this beast that it has become.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's been an emasculinization, but that's what it has done. And so, you know, I think we are all very patient and welcoming of the sacred masculine returning and finding out how it wants to show itself. And yes, absolutely with male clients, you know, they are figuring this out, and this is one of the big wild cards that's in play to affect the whole thing to go in our favor, so to speak. That is that it should never, you know, we need a lot more discussion about that. And men are leading that, and they need to be the ones that are leading that.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's so cool. And I was telling Steve the other day, I must have seen 4 or 5 sets of fathers carrying their babies, you know, with those little backpacks.
Yeah.
Strolling down the road and stuff. And I thought, God, this is such a cool transfer of energies today versus when I was growing up, you know.
Yeah, it really is. You know, those roles and ideas are, you know, totally being blown out. And that equality that's coming in between gender and role and beyond that, you know, beyond the definitions of that. And it this is why we, you know, we can be open to change because, look, that's what's going to come of that. So, yes, it's a change, but we can watch that and enjoy that as it happens because, you know, one of the main things I try to say is just, you know, don't forget about life here. You know, let's fall back in love with life and remember what the real story and what we're all here for, why we are here. Let's not over, you know, look that while we're doing all this other stuff.
Yeah, good point. Or you might miss your opportunity coming along, huh?
Yeah, definitely, because this, you know, the natural world speaks to us.
Reminds me of the tarot card, the 4 of Cups.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that one.
Yeah. Yeah. So, hey, I had a question for you. Have you compiled a list of the potential false flag dates through your eyes?
Yeah.
And are they available? Are they in your book?
No, because that when I wrote that book, you know, no one had any idea about any of this kind of stuff. Because you know, it takes a while for people to think I'm not out in the ether, or to discover that yeah, they are out there too. But basically, you know, for this year, it is again, it's July, beginning primarily July 3rd through the 6th.
Okay.
Again, the 10th through the 12th.
Okay.
And then the entire month, basically of September 24th, through to, I can give you the date there. The next new moon of that would be until the 23rd of October. So okay. September 24th through October 23rd. Those are the windows.
Okay, so folks, anybody that want to take that ball and run and really follow up on that between those 3 periods, do it for the sake of all of us that don't have the time to do it. I think that's awesome. So now you've mentioned several times that the game is over. Can you talk a little more about why you feel so confident in that when you look at the astral configurations?
Yes, that's primarily because it's been instructed to me that way, that this is, you know, the way that the story goes, and the way it actually looks is just dependent on what we do with it, because the story is up. You know, you can see the spread, you know, no matter what year you awakened, you know, you've seen that awakening advance exponentially. You know, it just gets faster and faster all the time. And just in the last year, the spread of just the word Archon, Mm-hmm. You know, it's really, you know, many people, most people in, you know, in the alternative and awake field, you know, they know what that is or have the general sense of that.
Yeah.
And so that's a great victory. You know, a lot of people think that, you know, it is by saying that word, it empowers them. Well, we have to have that language. You know, we have to know what we're talking about with each other. And that's what, you know, all of the people, you know, worldwide religion of the mystery school gave their lives, you know, because they believed that way. And so when I talk about that, the game is really over, it is that way, you know, that they understand that humanity will overrule this. And it's written in the Gnostic codices this way, that Sophia says this to the Archons, that, you know, that no, you have not won this. You're the children of humanity. Humanity itself overrides and will win, basically. And so this means that it's implied to us that we have freedom, that we will take this up again and form it in a new way based on beautiful principles. You know, I loved in your book when you talked about the Constitution and that it was based on the framework of the Iroquois. Not many people talk about that. I wrote about that in my book, but that information is going to come back into light, you know, that because that's the way it was, and that's something important to look at. Don't you agree?
I totally agree. I was so floored, you know, because when it first happened, Laura, until I got home and I had time to research it, I really wasn't that clear because I had been very, first of all, we were on a schedule, and secondly, I was very much guided to stay off the internet, to not go into research, to just be in the flow and only, you know what I mean? Just be.
Yeah.
And that's why it was such a magical trip. But when I delved into the whole Iroquois thing, I realized that he was truly trying to create a universal language amongst all of the Indians. It wasn't just for the Cherokee, which it ended up being used by the Cherokee.
Right.
But here we are again, you know, because that was associated with freedom on the mission, and it was associated with the month of July. And here we go again, coming back full circle to the month of July again. It just feels like this could be a very major positive turning point month. You know.
Yes, it is. And since we do talk about it as change being difficult, you know, that's where we tend to focus to try to get through that. But yes, because as again, we're headed towards the Indian chief, you know, taking leadership of the assembled tribe, and then the music of the spheres entering.
And so
that's the way it morphs. And so, you know, yes, what we can do every single day as an active practice is to strengthen that, is to just send love. Just feel the love and give the love. It's very simple.
Yes, yes. And we all have our own gifts. We all have our own gifts. And that's the most exciting part as to why we're coming into a second renaissance. If you read up on the renaissance that we all are so familiar with, you know, everybody was being paid attention to for their wares, whether it was carving a piece of wood or painting a picture or sculpting, you know, everybody would, you know, it was like people were on fire once again to come through with their own creativity. It was actually respected and admired and it, you know, paid attention to.
Yes, that's so true. And this comes back into the shift in value.
Yeah.
Of turning away from things that people no longer find value. It's happening. Mainstream media is dying. You know, no one watches that.
I'm so glad.
Thankfully, yes, absolutely. And, you know, we had talked last week also about another message within all of this is to embrace low tech, low technology. You know, turning back to forms of low tech with things that are rather important.
Yes. Yes. Gosh, thank you for bringing that up. So I wanted to share this with people. There is a new, and this is basically high tech, but what I really think we all need to do is band together to come up with solutions for not being as, preyed on, not being as surveillanced, not being as, watched, okay? And apparently there's just a ton of stuff out there about alternative browsers. There's a new software feature that you can actually download and upload files without them going into the actual watched grid. And so these are really important things. I mean, anybody that wants to contact me about this, where we can compile this information, I will either assist you or get that information out to all of us so we can participate. Because that's our way, once again, like Laura was saying, we need to take action, guys. Got to take action.
Yes, just as people have, you know, shifted towards organic and to, you know, local, that the same thing follows with all of that, with the tech. In fact, I'm, you know, my next book I'm thinking about writing by hand.
Very cool.
Because then it won't even have the, you know, the keyboard involved with it, to, you know, to just to that degree. And there's so much conveyed through that.
Yeah.
You know, through the personal, you know, the human part of it. You know, this is what we were, you know, we want to do. Embrace our humanity and embrace our creative abilities, because this is the purpose for us. That's why we're here, is to do that.
That's awesome. Now, you know, I had a question and somebody had brought this up to me. If, in fact, just about everything that we have been taught is a lie, and if, in fact, you know, we've got these planets standing on poles,
mm-hmm.
and if, in fact, you know, we have this astrology system that's based on that system, how do you feel about, are each one of these houses then kind of looked upon by the dark as a way to enslave us? And if so, what would you say to someone that asks that question to you?
It has enslaved us.
Okay.
It is part of the process of enslaving us, but it can also be used to free us.
Perfect. Okay.
It's, you know, it's just the whichever angle that has worked from it.
Yeah. I had one girlfriend, she says, you know, I'm not going to let anything astrological influence me. But the thing is, if it's out in the mass consciousness.
Well, and it's, again, it's almost like we, you know, it's like something to that you can become superhuman with. First of all, there's no reason to do that, because it's not going to turn you into anything, you know. It isn't like that. It's only a tool. It's only a code to read certain things. Yes, and most people that aren't working it, you know, from a higher level are going to be susceptible to that lower octave of things. Yeah. You know, and I talk about that every day in the work report, what you can kind of expect, you know, from just in general. But it really, you know, I get that. You know, I believe we are all free, sovereign individuals. And so I don't like the idea of anything, you know, trying to change that or influence or program me in a certain way. My view of it is, let's look at what it's doing, and then let's work with that, you know, because it's knowledge. You know, we can gain some knowledge of how to do it, and it, that can help us.
Right. And we also need to not forget that we are within their matrix.
Right. Their matrix is in control. That's, yeah, that's the way I would say it, yeah.
You know?
But it's falling.
Yeah. Hey, I'm all there with you, but I'm just saying, this is not what we would all define as, you know, heaven.
As life.
as life as we would think it. You know, like I've said many times, the things that are going on this planet are just not human. They're not human.
Yes.
And we really need to think about that. So I have another really cool question for you. So many people that listen to you and to my program, they are such enlightened souls. And I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about what are some of the things that you see within those that are here who are really stepping in, stepping up, really compassionate for humanity. They really want to make a difference. Can you share a little bit about, you know, what do you see as maybe a common pattern amongst, say, the ground crew or?
Yeah. Oh, gosh, I love that topic. I could talk about that a lot, you know, because it's so much of a privilege to talk with the people I get to talk to. I'm, you know, the most interesting, amazing people. And, the, you know, I would say the commonality of it is that they don't see that.
Ah.
If they don't see how truly wonderful they are. And believe that, you know, that that they had any kind of power, or not necessarily wouldn't have any kind of power, but that their role was important. And it is, you know, it is. And it's about being. It's about, you know, being that energy incarnate on the planet, you know, just being here breathing and, you know, operating is important. You know, that and it should never be underestimated what that really is. We don't really truly see what that really is. We're only looking at it from this, you know, limited kind of perspective. It's so much bigger than us. But yes, a commonality is the healing abilities in the level of trauma that people have been through and their pain and what they've come through and then who they are from that.
Interesting.
Yes, so much of that. And then people who have all their lives felt that they had something, you know, that they were doing, and it was a secret wish maybe, you know, just a dream, and then all of a sudden somebody, you know, tells them, oh, you've got some math in your chart here, you know, I can look at this circle with all these funky shapes on it, and I can tell you something about yourself. And it always serves to empower, because it's about reconnecting those parts of us. But the healing abilities and the creativity, my goodness, you know, I'm so lucky that artists, I get to read the charts of a lot of artists. I'm lucky that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so supportive of art, because I think it is just, you know, art and music. I define them, you know, all in the same group there, but it's the most important thing we do. And it's the reason, again, for our existence, is to create. And just recapturing that is part of what we're all trying to do, because that's been robbed from us. You know, we've lost that childlike part of ourselves that attaches and has fun.
Yeah, no kidding.
It gets way too heavy, you know, and the Matrix and this, and, you know, yeah, step away.
Oh, that's
see it for a different way.
That's really cool, and in fact, so are you finding that a lot of these people, they really have, like, tenacity or resilience as kind of a common thread?
I definitely would say that, yep. Definitely would. You know, that perseverance and the endurance. And it is all in service of, you know, releasing pain, transmuting that, and becoming something greater, and attaching to, you know, having attached to something greater than themselves. That's definitely a common denominator. People don't usually, I don't usually have people, you know, that find me for readings that, you know, aren't well on their way with whatever they're doing. You know, I think that I feel pretty lucky like that, to talk with people that are that way.
That is so interesting. So now, are you finding any specific patterns as far as the people that are coming to you now with what they're associated with? You know, for example, you know, particular maybe planetary affiliations, or, you know, particular things that they're on fire. I mean, I'm just wondering if there's a propensity of a certain type of individual that's coming to you now because of the fact that we're about to just burst free.
Yeah. Yes, definitely. And I would say in the last month, there was just the influx, a flurry of people that actually do work with the grid. They consciously either are out inserting crystals in the grid, or, you know, they're firing it with meditation or whatever way. But yes, that was just that lit up quite significantly in June.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that, yes, because, and all of that, you know, all of that links up. Everybody's work together, you know, we're working at the same thing, even though everybody, you know, feels like they're working alone. And many times the people I talked with are very isolated, you know, they, and by their own choice, you know, because that is the way they do their work. And so in that way, you know, we are all connecting up with the grid. The meditations that I, you know, talk about with the Oracle Court, we don't do them very often, but when we do, it's always about the grid.
Right.
That is what, you know, what we're doing. And again, like I said at the beginning, it is a different matrix. It is our matrix.
Yeah, that's interesting you say that, because we work with the Guardian grid, and the same kind of thing. I mean, we're feeding and empowering and growing that, so that the transitional state of the world can remain a little more grounded and stable.
Yes, absolutely. That I think that's the most important thing that we're doing this month.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's the target.
Yeah, and you also mentioned that a lot of people are isolated. I feel that so much from the people that write into me. And the one thing that I want to reassure everybody of is we are going to be reuniting soon. You know, we are, I mean, just hang on to that and really delve deeply within yourself as to how you can maybe get involved in a meetup group locally in your area or, you know, a forum. God, there's just countless forums out there just to maybe edge yourself out of that isolation mode, because most of us tend to, don't you think, Laura? Most of us tend to really isolate ourselves because we do so much deep inner work.
Yes, and, you know, just working with high levels of frequency when you're out into just the mainstream of people, the pulls on the signal. You know, the signal is going to entrain to the strongest signal. And when you're carrying, when you're walking around, you're carrying a pretty high frequency signal, and the signals around you are lower, yours is going to be by, you know, resonance, it'll drop down because it's being pulled down from the, you know, the stronger multitude of signals there. And so it's hard for us to manage that. And so, I, you know, my answer for everything is you go outside.
Yeah.
That's the go-to. That's the cure-all. That's the fixative. You know, in the snap minute, what you need to do is you need to go outside and ground yourself with the planet, because that's the grid and that's where we maintain our sanity.
Good point.
Is by connecting with nature. Yeah. We keep our feet on the ground and our, you know, we look skyward.
Good point. And also not to forget to ask whoever, whether it's Source or Mother Mary or, you know, an ascended master or whatever, to ask for someone, you know, if you want, like, someone you can communicate with that's on the same page with you, ask. And just make sure you know what you're asking for.
Yeah, that's so true. You know, I think that people are finding that even, you know, when they do that now, you know, some kind of information comes to them pretty quickly to help get back on track with things. So I think that's a little bit of a change. I don't think it was like that until very recently.
Yeah.
You know, you can kind of get some return pretty quickly now.
I know. I do feel like as we go into some of these really deep kind of woes and feelings, and many of the times, Laura, at least for me, it feels like I'm feeling the planet. I mean, I'm just feeling the upsurge of that which is surfacing, you know, pain,
yes.
Anguish, you know, because this, we're going through such a huge purification stage, so we need to not forget that, that, you know, we are her, and as she purifies, so do we, right? Vice versa.
Yes. And we don't, like, again, need to be superhuman with anything. Our humanity, that is our strength, and that just means we're not perfect. And so we do allow, you know, for that intervention there with help, with assistance. And when we do that, it just strengthens everything, because it's too much to carry on your own for anybody. You know, I live in a strange little land. You know, I study the planets to a great degree. And when you're having a transit of, you know, a major transit astrologically, you know, it's okay. It doesn't mean you've slipped back into kind of an old pattern or anything like that necessarily. It means that you're evolving and that you're growing as a spiritual being. And so really, you know, again, we take the, just don't, no one has to be perfect here.
Yeah, that's a good point. Thank you for that. And so how do you feel at this point with the new energies that are coming in July? What area of people's lives are going to shift to make it easier rather than this deep, heavy duty? You know, you said there's going to still be a lot of maybe shadow side stuff going on, but is there anything else in the astral realm that is easing things up, so to speak? You know, like, is this a time where prosperity is going to be opening for the planet?
prosperity. Yeah, I believe that because that's where I think we're headed, you know, with the music of the spheres. So, yeah, I would definitely say it's prosperity. Communications are going to get better because, and quickly, because we're coming out of an awful Mercury retrograde, like you mentioned. So that'll take a lot of the pressure off of that. But the truth of things tends to come out when we have Eris Point energy activation like we do. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, that is always a beautiful thing. You know, we can't get enough of that, really.
Yeah.
You know, we want as much of that as we can have. And so, you know, just taking in all that data and all that light. The winnowing, so much of this is happening, you know, without us really having to do anything, this winnowing of this separation by vibration, like things not within our vibe, in our resonance, within what's good for us, you know, that kind of falling away, that's an assistance, you know, that's quite a blessing because it doesn't take as much energy.
Good.
We'll also come out of the shadow of Mars's retrograde. Mars was retrograde this year, and it came out of its shadow, out of retrograde. It's direct now, but it's going to come out of that place where it was kind of in shadow. So this means more of our energy is going to come back to us in a new way. Mm. I'll certainly take that. You know, just some refreshment from that will be nice.
Wow.
Now, and all of that, you know, really all of this depends on, you know, how strongly we can keep the grid in place, you know, how it all goes and how desperate the New World Order gets to try and take advantage if they do, because they might not, you know, this doesn't mean this is going to happen.
Interesting.
Are you still on there?
Yeah, no, I am. I think it's interesting. We've had a very clear connection until you said, unless the New World Order, and then you just kind of blanked out.
Okay, so unless they, you know, to go full force with these opportunities that they tend to like to take advantage of, but unless that is just disempowered, because what we're really seeing is what kind of power they have left to do what they want, because now's the time they're going forward with things. You know, they're just... forward momentum, you know, all speed ahead. And so we're getting to see exactly how much they're able to kind of get done.
Well, and, you know, going back to what you said about the game birds, you know, the game birds now
feathering their nest,
it also brought to light for me that we're going back to that which we know we can do after such a heavy-duty time.
Yes, yes, and it's natural to us, isn't it? To feather the nest is natural.
It's very natural for us. So, you know, now we're at this place where we kind of went through all this fear porn and this hype and all the false flag stuff, and we've now seen that anybody that we thought was really on our good side, we're finding out they're actors, we're finding out that people that have been major, orators and speakers out in the community, finding out that they may not necessarily have what the best interest for all of us. And we're questioning everything around us, right? I mean, you know, there's like nothing that we're not – it's almost to the point when I get emails from people, they just want to throw their arms up in the air like, good God, I don't know if I can trust anyone anymore.
yeah, we get to that point, don't we? We all do. Smoke and mirrors just aren't really going to work this month. As far as, you know, trying to hide things and to trick. And so we're able to see through all that. And when we get to September, when we come to the Libra cycle, that's the full phase of the year. Basically, like that whole month is like a full moon phase. We see everything by the light of full moons. Mm-hmm. And so remember the progression of this. We have a shift right now. We have a pivot. And then the next one comes with the Libra cycle September 24th. And then the final one on December 21st at the winter solstice. So that's the way that it'll pivot out for this year. And so you can kind of, by knowing that, you know, keep in mind, okay, this is when I really have to, you know, I'm really going to be pushing out. I'm working with, you know, things are happening, basically, that I'm going to have to kind of deal with. And then after we finish this month, you know, then we'll have a little bit of a rest with that and so on until the end of September.
So do you feel like... this is truly the month of Renaissance, or do you feel that it's not really going to quite start until next year, or do you feel like we're already in it?
What I believe is that this year, the 2014 astrological year, is the shift. It is the change. It is, you know, that's how it's happening. As far as the rebirth of it all, that comes in 2015, the way I see it. But, you know, we are in it. We are in the shift of Renaissance. It isn't a month. It's happening over time, and we've been in it. You know, I would say we've been in it heavily since November 2011.
Interesting.
That's when I target the real wake up of things and the real engagement of the planet. This is the year everything changes. That's why we have to get good at it.
Laura, what was your perception of the 12/21/12? You know, like, what did you feel that kicked off ultimately?
That kicked off the party.
The party. Interesting.
That's what I called it. And I did a recording at that time. I think it was my first recording, actually. And I really was the only one like, hey, it's a playground. It's a party. We're all invited. And yay. And everyone, no, it wasn't really received that way. But it is that. It is still that. And that's what it's been. It's just been everybody is now at the party and on the playground. And everybody knows what's up and what we're doing.
You know, part of the lack of reception to that was I personally feel that we made a choice on a mass consciousness level to stick around a little longer to try to get as many people on the train, you know, and get through the transition. We were just hoping to assist more souls. And we made that decision on a group conscious level, and I don't think a lot of people were really happy about it. But at the same time, I think, you know, our higher selves couldn't make any other choice but that.
Well, I think the hardest part is over.
Yeah, me too.
I think we've come through that, the hardest part. We have, you know, we have totally engaged forces with us now. You know, that we're co-creating with, it's totally different. And, you know, before we were much more like operating in the dark, and it's just not that way anymore.
Do you feel that there's a connection also with the fact that we're going into the Leo new moon that you brought up, and the fact that gets back to the lions, the Lyra, the lion race, et cetera, and also the Sphinx in Egypt? What's your opinion on that?
Yeah, there's so much symbolism with all of that. You know, I think that one of the main things that happens in August is what Jim McCanney, the physicist who talks about the electric universe theory, that's when that August return current from the sun being a capacitor, if we say, and it sends, you know, it discharges at the beginning of that cycle, and then and that energy flows out through the solar system and then returns back to the sun. So it throws out that energy, and all this experience happens, and it picks up all the frequency, and then it comes back. So really what I think a lot of energetically what happens beginning in August is we get return on everything that's been put out there thus far for, like, that year, that cycle.
Interesting. Wow.
Yeah, his work is fascinating if you haven't heard of it.
No, Jim McCanney, huh?
McCanney Science is his site.
I'll have to check him out.
He records every week, but he's a teacher, basically. He's a physics teacher is really what he is at heart, and he's got the theory. He's got it down and has lots of books to prove it.
Well, I am really appreciative of your ability to intertwine all of these different types of, you know, theories and scientific perspectives into your own work. I mean, that's one thing I just really admire about you, is you kind of grow with a lot of the radical stuff that's come out.
Well, you know, we have continued to learn, don't we? You know, we new things come to light, and we have to put that in our sphere and look at that. And that's the process. That's the beauty and the mystery of the journey with it. Yeah. Is the journey of discovery. And so, you know, I'm not, you know, other than the fact that I know that I'm at one with the planet Gaia Sophia, from there, anything else, I'm open to it. Because, again, it's what Edgar Allan Poe said, all that we see or seem is but a dream within a dream. And there's room for everybody's dream, really.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. And I was going to, you know, as we get closer to the end of this interview, I was going to quote you on this. I thought it was beautifully done. It says, the field of consciousness aligned with natural world order is under heavy attack through the full moon phase of this lunar month. By focusing on the positive imprint listed, you are actively participating in the maintenance of the field of consciousness that indigenous people have held while the archons have dominated, endeavoring to harmonize and radiate the positive imprint each day is the most important thing that we do, no matter what transpires in our individual lives. And I want to thank you for saying that, because if there's nothing else that any of us do every day, if you can just think some positive thoughts, send some love to the grid, to the mass consciousness of the people, to your own situation, you know, because we all have these layers upon layers upon layers of grids, and you know, it's very complicated. It's going to make a difference.
Yeah, remember who you are.
So, okay, well, we're coming to the bottom of the hour, and it's 1:44. Isn't that interesting? So, Laura, go ahead and tell everybody again about your books and where they can reach you and order those books.
Okay. My site is oraclereport.com, and the daily energetic analysis is posted there every day. Sometimes on the weekend I combine them. And my books are available for download for free, also on the books tab there. And that's my book on Eris and my book on the Black Moon. And the Black Moon one is the one that you can look up for your shadow side and, you know, read up about that. In addition to just talking about the shadow side, I talk a lot about how to integrate that as well and some practical application, because if there's anything that I try to endeavor to be, it's practical.
This is true.
So, yeah, just to join me over there. We're, you know, re-imprinting the matrix, you know, to the way we want it to be. That's what we do at the Oracle Report. Everyone's invited.
Hey, hey, I love it. We're all invited, everybody. Laura's party.
Laura's party. That's exactly what it is.
Oh, that's too funny. Well, as always, I thank you for coming on air, and I just really, really, truly wanted to have this recording for all of you today so that you know that the toughest part, we've gotten through it. I mean, as Laura said, we've gotten through the hardest part. It's
yeah.
Game over. It's time to take action. It's time to kick butt, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so do me a favor, everybody. Please support Laura. She really does just an amazing, you know, it's an amazing gift what she's giving us every day. I read her reports on a regular basis, and they really are uplifting, and they give you such a concise, she's very practical, concise, and also very profound in the way that she sees the day and how it's going to unfold. And it really will assist you in your daily walk. So consider donating to her website at oraclereport.com, as well as mine, because mine's also based on donations at galacticconnection.com. Can use all the support I can get, considering our expenses are going up, 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 up. So we love you all, and we will be talking to you again soon. I think Laura and I have been guided that we're going to be talking about certain basic topics on a possible frequent basis. And if so, feel free to drop us a line and give us your feedback. Let us know what you would like us to talk about, and we'll do it.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Alexandra. It was wonderful.
Thank you, Laura, and I so appreciate you and your time. And love to all of you. You're an awesome audience, as I always say, and I'm just going to keep on saying it. Okay, take care. Have a great Tuesday afternoon. Love you all.